Hello everybody, this is Steven Dutzman and I am the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com and this is my ride to work. So, this is the EFG Daily Commute. This is a podcast that I record in the car as I drive on into the day job in downtown Hartford. This is a fourth episode, 4 days in a row. We've talked about, you know, a wide variety of things, right? The beginning we talked about the history of our website, Engage Family Gaming. The second day, I talked about, you know, some of my thoughts on story in games. And yesterday was a treat because I had my, I had my 10-year-old come on the podcast because we were driving him to school after a doctor's appointment. Don't worry, nothing bad. And he talked about, you know, Fortnite and what it meant to him. And he actually gave some pretty neat advice to, you know, for parents to kind of keep in mind to give their kids as their kids are learning that game. So, I mean, we've talked about some really cool stuff. So here we are, day number four. Now, last night was Halloween, so I hope everybody had a good one. I hope your kids got just the right amount of candy, and hopefully they got some of the kinds that you like so you can exercise your parent tax, because you know how that goes. I was flush with Reese's, so it went well for me. And today's actually my birthday. I'm 38 now, which is a really interesting year for gamers. So I was born in 1980, obviously. You guys were able to do the math. Many of you probably did it as soon as I said I was 38. So I was born in 1980, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit before I moved into the topic, because that's an interesting year, because I was still relatively young when, you know, when the Nintendo came out. Like, the original NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, came out in the mid-80s when I was, like, 6 or 7, right? And so, now, admittedly, video game launches were different then than they are now, right? Like, when the PlayStation 4 launched, you could buy it everywhere. They were hard to find, but you could buy them everywhere. Whereas when they released the Nintendo Entertainment System back in the mid-80s, and I'm blanking on the exact year, some video game historians will correct me, I believe it was 1987, but I'm blanking a little bit, so I appreciate your patience with me on that. But they were still recovering from the crash that was caused by the shenanigans with the Atari and, you know, basically everybody just pumping out garbage. So they were not marketing the Nintendo as a video game console. They were marketing it as the entertainment system. They specifically wanted to market it as a toy, and it came out very slowly. It started in large markets first. It was almost like an independent film. So it was years before it was widely available, like in rural Connecticut. So, like, I'm in a weird spot where a lot of folks will assume that because I am, you know, I identify with millennials, I'm technically not one, I guess, and a lot of folks assume that, like, my first console was, like, a Super Nintendo, and a lot of folks even assume that my first console was a Nintendo, and it really wasn't. The very first console that I ever owned was an Atari that my parents had bought for themselves and had played with their friends. They had, like, a lot of multiplayer games and a lot of, you know, cool stuff, you know, combat, things like that. And they, I'll never forget the day they brought it out. You know, I was thinking about this last night while I was handing out Halloween candy. Because I asked for a Nintendo, because, I mean, you see the commercials, right? I mean, this was the mid-80s where everything was a commercial. And so I would watch my Saturday morning cartoons and I would see the Nintendo and I was immediately enamored with it. It's super cool looking, obviously. My father's a minister, so we lived in a parsonage that was down the road from his church, literally. Like, I could walk home from church on Sundays. The parsonage was like a salt box from, like, the Revolutionary War era. We're talking like a 200-year-old house with a dirt floored basement, you know, and, you know, I never went down there, but there was, like, this little shelf. Like, if you opened the door to our basement, there was, like, this little shelf that was underneath the stairs that went upstairs. And you really couldn't store anything there. And I always wondered, I never really noticed what was there, right? It was just, I don't know why. I mean, I was a kid. But I started asking for the Nintendo. And one day, my dad, you know, kind of looked at my mom and the two of them, you know, kind of talked for a couple of seconds. And then they went in and they opened up and they brought out this Atari. And, you know, I talk a lot about how the Nintendo was like my, you know, like my first, like that's when my, when it, I, like some of my first strongest gaming memories. But you know what? I think I might have to amend that because I was thinking about it last night and my parents tried so hard to give us all of the video games that they could before they could figure out how to save or sacrifice to get that Nintendo. Because we had, you know, they had their Atari and they took that out and that was important to them, like as a couple, and you know, so they took that out, and I'm sure they weren't ready to, you know, take it out yet, but they gave that to us. And you know, I remember them, you know, buying like these weird like computer, like they bought some of those old consoles, you know, some of the failed ones from before the crash, probably at tag sales, or maybe like somebody owned them and they borrowed them for us. And I remember, you know, spending time and with, you know, Pitfall and, you know, playing that awful Pac-Man port that was on Atari, but I didn't know better. And I really did, you know, I talk about, I've told that story before and I'll probably tell it again on this podcast just because it's a different format, but that time my parents brought home that NES, but the more I thought about it last night, you know, some of those memories just, they crystallized in my brain. And it's like, you know, the first thing that happened, you know, the first video game that I played that was like mine was when my parents really kind of gave me their thing. They gave me their Atari and they took it out and they had a bunch of games. And I remember, you know, being a little bit disappointed because it wasn't exactly what I wanted. But you know what? I really loved it, you know? I specifically remember Pitfall. And I think Pitfall being like my, you know, being my jam at that point, you know, it was a platformer. And I think that that affinity with that game and the time that I spent with that game has kind of moved forward into, you know, I love Mario and Mega Man and Castlevania and, you know, a lot of these other, you know, platforming games. To the point where that's just kind of formed my, what I love now. It's just so interesting. And I think this is going to be kind of a similar situation now, right? Like everybody's got, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of kids, right? They want one thing, maybe they get something else. And, you know, I guess maybe the moral of this story is like, if you're a parent or an older sibling or maybe an older cousin, you got your PS2 lying around, right? Maybe your PS3 or your Xbox 360. Like, they're old, right? Like, the 360, they don't make games for it anymore. But, you know, maybe, like, share that. Because, you know what? My parents sharing that older thing that wasn't exactly what I wanted, you know, it made a big difference to me. So I bet, I guarantee there's a bunch of people listening to this show that have a PS3, you know, or an Xbox 360 lying around. Maybe you've got your GameCube from back in the day. You know, you got younger cousins, you got younger siblings, you know, maybe not siblings, but you got younger cousins, nephews. They don't need an Xbox One to enjoy games. So, you know, maybe so their parents don't have to go bananas trying to find an Xbox One X or whatever this year. You know, throw out some old stuff. You know what would be great? I mean, we all have piles of Skylanders. I don't know. This is a weird thought now, and I think a lot of this podcast is going to end up being somewhat, you know, stream of consciousness, but it's just kind of hitting me this morning and last night about how valuable the experience of kind of playing a system that was not what I wanted was. Because I loved it, even if it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And, you know, there's a lot, we all know kids that could use stuff, and we all have a lot of stuff that we could share. So, You know, share the wealth, man. You got a PS3 with a bunch of Skylanders, you can make a 7-year-old gear with some cool games. So there's that. So, I promised myself initially I was going to try and stick to one topic, but that was if you've listened to me on other shows, you know that that's probably not something I'm going to be able to do all the time. So, here I was at 10 minutes talking about my time playing on the Atari. So, I was kind of strapped for topics this morning just because last night was Halloween. It was kind of bananas. And so I went out onto my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and I asked, you know, some of my friends to throw out some ideas for topics today as a birthday present because, you know, here it is, it's my birthday. And I got some interesting suggestions. One of them, one thing came up a bunch of times, and I'm going to run with it, even though it's not necessarily perfect for, you know, our audience. I want to talk a little bit about Red Dead Redemption 2. It's the biggest game on Earth right now, you know, at least in the short term. Fortnite, obviously, is a big deal, and Minecraft and things like that, but Red Dead came out last Friday, and it made $725 million in 3 days, which is huge. The Rockstar announced that it was the biggest opening weekend in the history of media, just to give you an example. Now, so many caveats on that. Like, when they do that, they're kind of comparing it to movies, but, you know, like, when I went to go see Infinity War, I paid $20, whereas when I, you know, I haven't bought it yet, but, you know, someone who bought Red Dead Redemption 2 would have paid $60, unless they bought, like, a collector's edition. So it's not apples to oranges, or it's apples to oranges, but it's still kind of interesting to think about how much money that game made, and so it's a big deal. I mean, it's a cowboy game, and a lot of folks have been talking about it, and, you know, first off, that game is rated M for mature. It is made by the same company that made Grand Theft Auto. So that should give you an idea the kind of content that they are not afraid to lean into. I have not played it. In fact, I really haven't even paid attention to the ESRB rating for the game, but I would presume that it includes violence. I know that it includes at least references to sex and stuff like that. I also would, I know that it includes, you know, there's, you know, the late 1800s were not exactly an enlightened time in the Wild West, so I'm presuming that it will deal with topics of things like racism and, you know, racial violence. But this is what's interesting about that game. And from watching it, and I've watched a fair amount, and I'm actually going to play it. And I'm going to play it fairly soon. You know, probably, you know, there's not a lot coming out this month, for us. So I'm probably going to spend some of my gaming time playing it. And the reason, is I think that this might be a game. This is pure speculation. But from what I have watched and I have read, etc., you know, they've talked about how this game is very slow and deliberate, and that there is just a lot to do. And I think that this may be one of those games where there are parts of it that you can share with your family. This is a pure speculation, but... You know, I know that a fair amount of this game is wandering through the wilderness and fishing and trying to find collectibles and, you know, just not dealing with other people. You know, it's exploring, it's, you know, things like that. I think that it is possible that this is one of those games that is so large that there are small pockets of the gameplay that aren't a problem, right? Like, I mean... For example, you know, Grand Theft Auto is a horrifically violent game where you can, you know, do all sorts of criminal activities and, you know, not for children. However, you can play golf in that game. You can play tennis in that game. You can go scuba diving and skydiving in that game. None of those activities by themselves are inappropriate. It's like the name on the box doesn't change what the activity you're doing is, right? And for example, like Minecraft, if as far as I am concerned, if all you're doing is hopping into creative mode and creating a box, like a house full of lava, and spawning villagers into it and listening to them scream as they die and burn, I would say arguably that is more, that is less quote-unquote family appropriate than hunting deer in the Wild West. So I don't know. I mean, this is definitely not going to be a game that anyone is going to want to play in its entirety with their kids, right? But I'm speculating, and I think that it is possible that there are parts of this that can be shared, and I think that's really cool, right? Like, this game is going to eat a lot of people's time. There's going to be a lot of parents that want to play this game, and just, you know, because it's, you know, it's the biggest game this year, which is saying a lot, right? Like, we've had a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not going to be my game of the year or anything like that. I can't imagine anything's going to beat Spider-Man, right? And we also have a rule: if you're rated M, EFG can't give you a game of the year. So, you know, there's that. But there's going to be a lot of parents that want to play this game, and I think that there are going to be pockets of it that are worth experiencing together, right? You know, just pick, I don't know. You know, I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. So if you're listening to this and you think I'm crazy, which, by the way, I could be totally wrong. I have never picked up a controller. I have not installed this game yet. You know, this is just pure speculation. But I think that it is possible that there's going to be stuff in here that you can share. You know, just thinking about some of the fishing and listening to some of the people talk about some of the collectibles and things that you can do. I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out. I'm going to investigate and find out, you know, if you're playing the game and, you know, you think that there's something out there, by all means, you know, send us a message on the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/engagefamilygaming. Send us a message. Let us know. Because I'm curious. Again, this is just a thought that hit me. Like, and I think about it a lot. I'm reminded of a story that came out around the time that that Grand Theft Auto 5 came out. That there was a dad who was posting on Reddit, or I don't know if Reddit was a thing then, I'm not sure, but it was somewhere. There was a dad who, he and his son loved cars, and so he would drive around LA in Grand Theft Auto 5, obeying the traffic lights and, you know, following the law, which if you do that, the game, you know, nothing crazy happens. And he would have his younger son call out what color the other cars on the road were. Now, I suggested this to my wife, and I, at the time, and I think she was assuming that I was trying to say, oh, well, this is something that, you know, that makes it okay to play with kids. And it's not. Obviously, Grand Theft Auto 5, questionable content for children. I mean, it's not appropriate, right? But Rockstar doesn't make kids games. This is a big, important but. I am a big proponent that what it says on the title on the box is less important than the actual activity. And when the bigger these games get, the more likely it is that there might be some kind of subsection of the game that will be, you know, that will be kind of palatable. So I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to investigate. The other thing, and again, this is the stream of consciousness that is the EFG Daily commute kind of hitting me. We did get some rumors that Rockstar is ramping up production on a new Bully game. Now, I think that could be a big deal. And here's why. Bully, for those of you that don't know, is a game. It's from the PS2 era. It's been remastered all over the place. It's on phones now. That is described as more or less Grand Theft Auto, but it takes place at like a prep school. So it's in a school. So, and you're a kid. I have not played it, but I've spent a lot of time watching and reading about it. Because it was just not my style of game back then. I think I'm going to go back and actually have to play it now. The thing about Bully and, you know, examining what Rockstar does with their games and how deep their gameplay models are. You know, Grand Theft Auto was huge, right? It was huge. It was the city of LA, more or less. And Red Dead Redemption 2, even bigger. Right, but they wouldn't necessarily need to get bigger with Bully, right? Because it's a prep school, so probably the school and some of the surrounding areas. So as a result, you know, they would be probably applying their level of detail to the interpersonal relationships, which in a prep school like where people sleep, you know, a big campus like that, there's a lot that they could delve into and a lot of relationships that they could work on. I think, you know, Bully definitely explored some really interesting topics about youth and being a youth at the time. The fact that it was called Bully and that, you know, obviously the media called out some of the darker elements in that game, as they always do with Rockstar. You know, how many things did we hear? Nobody at the Today Show mentioned the fact that in Grand Theft Auto V you could skydive or play golf or tennis. They never did that. So I'm interested to think about, you know, if they take the level of depth that they put into Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto, like what they would do for Bully. You know, what does that design document look like? And how important might that game end up being, like, as an examination of what it's like to be a kid, right? Like, I think the biggest thing is, and again, this is stream of consciousness stuff, like, I think the digital world and how your digital persona would be expressed is almost as important as what happens, like, physically on campus, right? Like, maybe they put some of the effort into creating like a social network amongst students that you have to navigate in the game just the same that you do as a person. So getting pictures with people or who you tag in your photos and like stuff like that becomes important because it's, you know, like social media for teenagers right now is almost like a meta game of life. And so examining those elements, I mean, that could be really neat. It could be really eye-opening, you know, if they do it right. I don't know. I mean, love to hear your thoughts on that too. Send us a message at the Facebook page or maybe tweet at me at EF Gaming. Because I'm curious as to hear what your thoughts are too on this one. So yeah, I mean, here we go. It's my birthday. Talked about a little bit of the Atari and how important that apparently was to my life and how I had kind of forgotten about it, which is weird in and of itself. And we talked about Red Dead, and you know, we also talked about the potential for what Bully could be like now that Red Dead is out and in the wild. And you know, we don't have Red Dead Online yet, which is like the online component. I mean, I can't imagine that's going to be more appropriate, but you know, we'll see. But yeah, here we are. Day 4 is done. I appreciate you keeping me company while I drive to work. I'm going to sign off now. And we will talk to you soon. I do hope you guys have a great day. My name is Steven Dutzman. I'm the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com, and this has been my drive to work. Have a great day. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you soon. And by the way, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see you soon. Bye.